Welcome to The Blueprint, powered by K Marketing. I am so excited to welcome my friend Chuck Hannebach from Realty One Group to our podcast today. And we are talking about the balancing act of being a business owner. And balancing act would be an accurate statement.
Absolutely.
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 And I'm sure that every business owner that is listening to the podcast, everybody who is thinking about becoming a business owner, also know that it is not sunshine and roses.
No, not at all.
And there are incredible mountaintops and there are really deep valleys.
Absolutely.
And having the ability to find your balance in those is crucial. And resetting at points is also crucial. So Chuck, first, to kind of get everybody to know you, tell me about not the business you own, the businesses that you own.
I, of course, am a real estate agent.
Yep.
As my full-time profession.
Yeah.
But prior to this, I also had opened a facility maintenance company called CleanWorks, which I still own. And in our balanced situation right now, I'm in that kind of season of where I'm also backstepping into that business a little bit.
Yeah.
My family owns the Castle Roller Skating Rink, mm-hmm. which I'm now involved in that through some other asset situations. Then I also have real estate that I personally own. So I'm definitely well
versed
in the various pieces. And then I also had inherited a business from my mother, which was a fitness center for women.
Yeah.
And I was a fitness instructor for 17 plus years. And I sold that, I guess that's going to be about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And just needed to step outside of that, mm-hmm. you know, and do things. So I'm definitely always running around with a chicken.
And I love that even your experience has been so different in each of those businesses.
Absolutely.
And experience as being a real estate agent and having a team that are all independent real estate agents. And being in a situation that you have traditional employees in CleanWorks and at the gym, you also have experience in generational business ownership.
Yes.
And starting a new business and selling a business. And like you can check all the boxes.
I can check all the boxes. Am I good at any of them? That's the piece I think I question all my, you know, myself a lot is, you know, a lot of times when people open businesses,
mm-hmm.
they use that as a silo and stay inside that silo, but create different tentacles of that particular profession.
Yes.
And I, you know, it's interesting this past weekend, as I thought about that we were meeting, I was like, okay, well, you know, fitness and real estate, they're not a marriage.
Mm-mm.
Roller rink and real estate, they're not a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
CleanWorks and real estate, they're not, like, none of them actually tie into each other.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a unique scenario when I think about a true entrepreneurial aspect. They usually stay inside that same
silo
of
it's a very good point.
There's a relationship to the other business in some aspect.
Yes.
And so I think that that's created somewhat probably a challenge for me because it makes it a harder shift.
You can't create example for me. I came from, you know, Mary Kay.
Right.
And when I owned that business, again, it was all independent contractors mm-hmm. underneath me, not employees.
Yep.
And shifting into this position and learning the employee side of it, the legal side of it.
Yep.
You're right. When you're doing different businesses like that, you can't take the structure that you've built and duplicate it into a new platform because it's an entirely different
roadmap.
Right.
Yeah.
So
or a blueprint.
Blueprint. Yeah. Hey, the blueprint.
Yeah,
that was good. That was a good pun. Is that the right word? Is pun? Is that?
Yeah. but no, I think that is one of the things I've actually have been really, you know, and I'm looking at the blueprint of those things. I think, okay, I can't overlay them
mm-hmm.
and find matching components that are easily transferable, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense.
So that's made my balance, you
know. A little out of whack
Exactly.
now. Exactly.
Yep. Exactly.
Because you're trying to, we have done a really great job, which is relating to what you're saying. I'll get there. We just had a really powerful internal meeting with our team yesterday. and we were talking about the systems and the structure that got us to where we are today isn't going to be the same systems and structure that's going to get us to the next level. And kind of our client experience is great, you know, but our internal systems, are we touching something too many times? Mm-hmm. And what does that growth look like? Mm-hmm. So those are things that even as a business owner, you're saying you can't create one new system and implement it into all three platforms because they're three very different business structures.
Very different business and structures and different age groups of employee.
Yes.
And
that's
different,
very true. Yep. Also different demographics of employees, mm-hmm. different work life schedules. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you've got you know, real estate agents, you guys are working 24/7.
Yep.
And then you've got weekend employees, evening employees, and then you have more traditional, you know,
regular
day work.
Yep.
So true.
It's definitely a challenge. And the other thing, you know, as you're saying, is the client experience that you talked about yesterday in your team meeting.
Yeah.
And that changing it, your own team has to be involved too.
Yes.
And so business owner to business owner here sitting, it's like, how do you cultivate the same energy that you are envisioning?
Yes.
How do you bring that energy and that vision that they buy into the message that you're trying to carry? And that's, I think that's been the difficult part for me, is I have a lot of visionary.
Mm-hmm.
My balance on equalness is I don't know how to implement.
The execution
is my harder part. So finding that other person is like, okay, I've got that idea that you're talking about. Now let me run with that. Those are kind of my balance issues.
So have you heard of EOS?
No.
Okay, so EOS is something that we just read the book on it.
Okay.
Maybe 3 months ago, and now we're like testing it.
Okay.
Which is where the meeting came into play yesterday.
Okay.
Was, okay, now we've been doing it for 2 months. What is working? What isn't working? And we have a new hire who just read the whole book this past weekend.
Okay.
And it was so neat that the leadership team has been trying to figure out, you know, what is our 1-year goal, our 5-year goal? And as a business owner, you instantly go to numbers.
Yeah.
How many clients, how much revenue? Like that's, I feel like, the default.
Yep.
And I was sitting in there talking about this, and all of a sudden she goes, well, Megan, that's part of your 1-year vision. And what I was talking about is that each marketing specialist would be, except for photography and videography, would be versed and confident in every single aspect of the marketing cycle for a client, so that it would bring on more of a single point of contact that was handling each aspect your business.
Okay.
And she was like, that's one of your goals. And I was like, oh my gosh. So it was so neat to have somebody just hear, right, that 10,000 foot view and say, here's the actual item that is the tangible rock, they call it, or goal for the company.
Correct.
And I was like,
that should take your aha moment.
Aha moment.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And the enrollment, which is what you're talking about with the team, is I went home and told my husband, I was like, I love that. I feel that every one of my team members left that meeting and were empowered for their part of the next chapter, you know, and learning new skills. You know, one of the things that we need is, Shannon's going to be on the road a lot because we have the new event in the city of Lancaster. And so the need for an admin, and video production slows down a little bit over the winter because it's largely outdoors.
Right.
And, you know, Pennsylvania in December and January looks a little bleh, you know.
Especially today. Yeah. Yeah.
And so Emma graciously was like, you know that I like was a part-time admin for a chiropractor. And I was like, no. And she's like, I could step in, but like that, I went home and I was just so excited about it. I was like, everybody's not saying that's not my job.
Right.
Everybody's saying, what part can I play in the team to get, you know?
Well, and it's interesting you're saying that, because there's a lot of noise out there right now about job descriptions.
Yes, there is, you know, a lot of noise.
A lot of noise about job descriptions. And I've the most recent thing I saw was the job description should be very task-based in regards to don't put and whatever else needs to be done.
Mm.
And I find that to me, as I read this recently, was where's the team cohesiveness then? You know, you talked about Emma saying, hey, I've done some admin work as a chiropractor's office. She's saying, listen, I can step in.
Right.
No, that may not be part of my job description,
right,
but I can step in. I think that, well, we're moving at such a fast pace in business nowadays, mm-hmm. and all the technology and AI that's stepping mm-hmm. into this whole world of things. I think that that's where it's becoming more difficult.
I agree with that.
You know, it's interesting because I have conversations, you know, I'm older than you.
No, you're not.
And well, I don't think I am, but I think that that's the hard part is you want to stay with the inside the generation as mm-hmm. well, because you want to be equal to your peers that you're working with mm-hmm. and keep the balance. And it's tough. Very tough to get that. So that's really a cool thing that your team is willing to
evolve
into that and say, hey, and that's where I'm trying to find that right-hand person. Right, I have people who are very, very strong in each of the companies that are there.
Mm-hmm.
But how do I fill the gaps?
The next seats.
Yeah.
And
so
what
they
does
can
that
grow.
Look like?
Right.
And like I just even think that, you know, as each team member comes in, how we read it in one of the books we read in book club was putting the right people in the right seats. And sometimes you aren't aware of what your right seat is until you get on the team and then start to realize what your strengths and values are and how you can fill the different seats.
I'm going to add one more thing that I read recently as well is every time you bring a new member into the team, your culture changes.
Mm.
So you have the base culture, but... Yes, they're going to be a match for the culture, but they're also going to bring another outside element into your culture.
Into it, yeah.
So it's like your culture, you have the main hub of it.
Yes.
But there's going to be ancillary outer layers that, you know, like the onion you're peeling back.
Yeah.
And so it changes constantly.
That's
so it's
really...
it's like kind of a growing thing in your business, so to speak.
Well, and even with our newest hire, Ryan has been training her. And like, I literally was like, Ryan, you're a really good trainer, like really good.
Not have realized.
Yeah. And so it's just really neat to see how they're blooming and developing into, you know, where that piece goes.
Yep.
So, all right, this is a fun question.
Go for it.
All right. So what first motivated you to start your own business? And you grew up in family business like I did. So that's a tough question for us.
I it's interesting. I think I was identifying who I was as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of that point in my life, I was running away from maybe the family. I was running away from my...
You were finding your own way.
I was finding my own way,
mm-hmm.
finding my lifestyle, finding my
mm-hmm.
own way. And I think that I felt like I had to do something. I had to prove to myself, or maybe I had to prove to my family
mm-hmm.
that I still had that ability. Unbeknownst to probably people, I worked for my family for a couple years and then decided I was going to be a cosmetologist.
Oh.
Which I don't think you ever knew.
Never knew this.
So I
saw... New information.
Uh-huh.
Thought I knew all the layers of Chekhanovka.
But no, so I had signed up for cosmetology school and I went for 2 or 3 months and I was like, okay, I don't think this is for me.
Mm.
I got out of that. And then I had been, basically had met some individuals. And I said I needed to do something for myself, and I was given a bet.
Oh.
And that men don't clean. And that's where it got started.
Oh, I love that.
I had a friend who literally said, hey, you should talk to this individual. You know, unfortunately, this individual is no longer with us, but met them. They got me involved in their business and kind of getting it started with them. But I saw a direction with that business that I didn't care for.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like some of the underlying tones of what was going on. And I
mm-hmm.
felt that there could be some legal actions down the road. So I had talked to one of the people that was involved with us. And she said, guys don't clean. And I said, can we have a chance? And it started from there. But I still didn't know anything other than I was a worker. I'm willing to push.
Yeah.
You know, as a business owner, there are days when you don't know if there's enough money in the bank account to pay the payroll.
Yeah.
But you push and you push and you push. And that means if you don't get paid, you still keep pushing because you have this vision of where
Absolutely.
You want it to be. And that's kind of where it got to. And it grew and it grew. And, you know, then things started to happen that I didn't realize were going to happen. But that's what it is. I think it's... Also seeing the drive of my mother and father, who were both multi-business owners, you get that. I think it's like you said, you're come from a business family. It's in your blood, so to speak.
Is.
You saw the hard work and the drive, and you realize if I want to do the things that my parents were providing for my family,
yes,
I need to do these same
Correct.
Activities, so to
right.
speak.
I was going to add to that, and growing up in a childhood business, that is the working for a set amount of hours was never my life experience.
Mm-hmm.
My life experience was we work when the job needs done until the job is done, but we also get to be at the soccer game and we also get to go to the band competition and we get to do those things. We get to go on vacation, you know, those. Mm-hmm. But I remember as a new business owner, now this is back when I was in Mary Kay, mm-hmm. and crying to my mom one time of just feeling so overwhelmed, and that I was working 24/7, and you know that balance mm-hmm. was out of control, right? And my mom looked at me, and it still resonates with me so much today. She goes, "Do you remember that?" Like, she had a Green Dragon tote bag, okay, just a random. And I said, "Yeah, you took it with you everywhere." And she goes, "That was my work."
Interesting.
And it hit me in such a cool way that, like, she was at all the things, but she was squeezing the work in between. And I just didn't realize it.
Okay.
You know, that she was, and again, this is back before computers.
Yeah.
So she was doing payroll and budget sheets, and she had it in a tote bag.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And she would just tote it around with her wherever she went. But it taught me that, like, okay. Like, you fit it in where you can, when you can,
mm-hmm.
and you make sure that the important family pieces are blocked first, and then you build that around it.
It's interesting you say it, because I always think, you know, I don't have kids, as you know.
Yeah. You have
little Pippa and Bougie. I always wonder, if I had children, how would my life be different? Because, you know, when you talk about work-life balance, I'm always working.
Yeah.
But I, probably like yourself, I love
to work.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
So for me, it's not truly a job. Yes, there's days when it really sucks, but I always wonder, would I be able to
like
do that?
It's one of your children.
Yeah, yeah.
It is your baby.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes you a great entrepreneur is.
And I hope so.
You have to treat it. You have to treat it like, I remember hearing a speaker say one time, that your business is like your baby,
mm-hmm.
since we were talking about this. And she said, it's not my baby. It sure as heck is not the government's baby.
Right.
It's, you know, it's not all the, it's your baby.
Yep.
And how are you going to build your baby?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to train your baby? And what is your baby going to become? That is 100% your ownership. That is your job. And just like a mother, you know, there are sleepless nights and there are nights that you're like, what in the world am I doing? Right. And it's the same thing owning a business.
Yes.
And I know that you're not a mother, but you can absolutely relate with the fact that owning a business, you step into it and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Just like a new mom is stepping into having a baby. There is no training manual that prepares you.
Nope.
To be a mother.
Nope.
Nothing. You can think you know everything, and then they put that baby in your arms and you're like, just kidding, I know absolutely nothing.
Nope.
And I think that it's the same thing when you go in and start a business, is that you really have to go into it and be open to learn, be open to partner with the right people,
mm-hmm.
and make hard decisions.
I think you have to be willing to fail too.
Yes.
I think you really have to be willing to fail. I mean, you're not going to go out of the starting gate and know it from... And make the perfect decisions, make the perfect hires. And I think that's the part, as a business owner, becomes extremely difficult at times. It's like, why can't I get this right?
Yeah.
What am I doing wrong? You know, you and I have bounced ideas off and talked about different things many times. And our experience is, we have the same experiences or the same challenge. It's just a different silo of the type of business
we're
in.
Yep.
And so I think that the aspect from, you know, what I've noticed is, I think when you really get down heart to heart with other business owners, we are all struggling the same mm-hmm. as the other person.
We're all swans.
Yeah. We're not willing to share sometimes because in our minds as entrepreneurs, it's a sign of defeat. It's a sign of failure. And I think sometimes that's where when you talked about partnerships, there is not being afraid. And that's something I think I've learned in the past couple years, is don't be afraid to let your demons out.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to let your skeletons out there, because somebody may have the answer that you're really struggling to find.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of how
for
you've come
to
for
know
me.
That we're not alone in it. That
exactly.
We're going through the same things. Everybody, mm-hmm. you know, like even when you said, like, there's definitely been months that I'm like, okay, that client better pay
yep.
because payroll's in 4 days, you know, and it's not always like that, but it is a reality
exactly.
that there are seasons that
yeah.
it is like that.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that you have to invest the money up front on the hires mm-hmm. before the revenue is there, because if you wait until the revenue is there, now you're dropping the clients because you can't keep up because
exactly.
it took 6 months to change that or to train that
yep.
person
yep.
to do that role.
Yep.
And I spoke recently at the Northern Chamber's women's event
mm-hmm.
and I it was a really rewarding and difficult speech for me to give because I talked a lot about failure.
Okay.
And that we can get stuck in our failure
mm-hmm.
or we can open up about our failure and we can use that as an opportunity to really truly connect with other business owners.
Yep.
And one of the craziest things that I found is, again, I had a partnership that did not work out. We dissolved that business and I could either choose to stay there or I could take that and build something really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's neat that how many people I talk to, I guess it's not neat, but how many clients we have that come to us that also were in a partnership or a former business that they had to close and they're starting to build something new and they want us to be a part of that journey.
That's cool.
And, you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
It is cool,
yeah.
you know, and just saying, hey, here's what I learned along the way.
Yeah.
You know, don't do this. Don't. And I, you know, there's that fine line of what is your price point?
Mm-hmm.
What is fair and reasonable
mm-hmm.
versus what is where you really truly need to be to make sure that you can take
yep.
care of your own internal team and keep the lights on
yep.
and knowing the difference.
Yeah.
You know,
it's,
like
it's definitely a big challenge for business owners.
Yeah.
You know, and wearing all the hats, because even though
yes.
you do hire somebody, you know, to be the person who greets the people coming
mm-hmm.
into your business, you still need to know how that's doing.
Yeah.
You need to know how that operates because you may have to step in that role.
Correct.
I think there are times and that as business owners, we kind of step outside of that and say, well, that's not my job.
Mm.
And I think we all have to realize that as the owner, you do wear every
you
hat.
Need to do.
You know, you may not be as, you know, you may be a little rusty when you have to step into that position. I'm in that.
I've done that certain thing. Okay, let me like go to the archives of
yep.
my brain and let me
yep.
remember.
Yep.
And you know, it's really funny when they say, well, you created the system.
Yep.
I'm like, I am aware.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since I've used it.
But you know, it's interesting also about that because as you know, that's happening to me right now
yeah.
is I'm looking at the system.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, now how can I improve? Or what was
right.
maybe duplicated that we didn't have to do?
Correct.
And so I think there's always those learning. And that to me
and
is
the touch
balance.
Points.
Exactly.
That's
the balancing of it all.
Mm-hmm. One of the cool things we're doing, see, we should do this with you too, is with our newest hire, she's going through the onboarding process.
Okay.
And we didn't really have an onboarding. We're just like, welcome.
Yeah.
Shadow us. Learn what we do.
Okay.
And now we're establishing a true onboarding. And she's building the onboarding packet.
Oh, that's cool.
As she's going through the onboarding. So that,
okay.
you know, each to the next time. And it's simple things as much as like our name tags that go on our office doors. Well, that needs ordered every time there's a new employee. And your name tag needs ordered. And your swag needs ordered.
Right.
And your 401k needs set up. And, you know, all
yeah.
of those. And so instead of trying to find all those things each time, let's build the system while we're doing the thing.
That's the way it could be.
I mean.
That's like an organizational dream for me.
But
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how to execute all those
things. And we talked about that in our meeting, too. And I was like, I see where we are going,
mm-hmm.
and I'm excited about it. But I, as a single person, can't execute all this. So what parts of it are you willing
yep.
to take ownership of so that we can build it there together? Which
So let me ask this question back to you. How do you hold yourself accountable for when those people do that? Because this is where I fail.
This is where
I fail, because we'll talk about something. And you're
uh-huh.
saying, okay, well, you're going to take care of, you know, the new hires taking care
yes.
of the onboarding. And then it kind of goes out of my mind because
uh-huh.
I've assigned that.
Because you've assigned it.
And so it goes out of my. So how do you hold yourself accountable to that?
We have what are called rock sheets, which is all part of this EOS thing.
Okay.
So everybody has quarterly goals.
Okay.
And they have tasks. And all of their tasks. So if I assign them to say, it is your responsibility to build the SOP for a new hire,
mm-hmm.
they actually get assigned that as a task in our management, like in our CRM monday.com
okay.
is what we use.
Okay.
And then they have to mark it done when they're done. And then we actually have Heather, who sends out all of our management reports. She works remote, but she's our controller.
Okay.
So at the end of every month, she goes through every task assigned to every team member. And if they haven't marked it done, she's making sure that it's bringing back up to the forefront of their mind.
Okay.
Or if it's done, she's completing the task. So
you got it set up, girl.
So all of that has already been in place for 2 years.
Okay.
So, but one of the weaknesses we found early, to come back to when you're saying, how do I know it got done? That's where we brought in a controller.
Okay.
And the controller is making sure that it may have slipped off the team member's plate. But there's a path of where it went, and she every month is checking that to make sure that it never falls off the plate.
Very good.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's how we...
I'm learning.
But it's something that, like, we have built over time.
Right.
You know, it didn't just appear. It's the constant evolution of how can we grow? How can we make that better?
Right.
And for us, specifically in our industry, we are not creating a duplicatable client experience. Every client that comes in has different needs, mm-hmm. has different goals. Like you said, it's in a different industry.
Yep.
And the contact at that company receives and gives information differently.
Right.
And so we had to really build a strong internal system to make sure that we were being true to who we want to be to our clients,
right.
and delivering and being the best version of ourselves to them. And that's different for everyone. So we had to really get ourselves organized,
right.
to serve them the best.
That makes
which
sense.
Is a little bit different if you are doing, example, in cleaning. This is the cleaning procedure. You
yep.
set it up and you go.
Yep.
Ours is, you know, the tasks are very different every day. So we had to learn that.
That's very similar to the same thing as in real estate. So
every
new buyer or seller, they have a different journey they're going on,
uh-huh.
a different type of home they're looking for, a different area. So it's almost like we have to be chameleons.
Yeah.
And change, but our back internal side
yes.
has to still remain the same. So they're getting the same experience,
but it's being tailored
to their needs.
To their needs.
Yeah. And so that's definitely a challenge for, I think, a lot of business. That, again, it's all that balance of how do you jump between things.
Chuck and I are having so much fun, and we have so much more to cover. So tune in next week to The Blueprint to hear the rest of our story.